Let's imagine the not too distant future. You feel more in control of your photos than you ever have before. You look forward to the regular creative dates on your calendar. You're moving forward on that project that means so much to you. You are on fire with inspiration, and you are finally scrapbooking consistently. This is not a hypothetical, it's a real life possibility. And for the first time, I've created a workshop specifically focused on the problem of consistency. It's called Sparked, and I'm excited to share it with you for free. Visit simplescrapper.com/sparked to get access to the training and make this possibility your reality.
Definitely. I just remember that one other thing that motivates me is my children pull their albums out and look at them. Or they'll say things like, the older ones will go, what was I like when I was Ava or Brielle's age? And I'll go, here, let me show you. And it's the words on the page as well. Like a lot of their memories when they're little, of course they don't remember, but I've documented them. So that touches my heart when I see them look at their albums. Like it's because yes, I create for me, but I also create for them. But let's be honest, I'm creating for me. It's a creative outlet. It's me documenting their stories. But the fact that they love it means even more to me.
Welcome to Scrapbook Your Way, the show that explores the breadth of ways to be a memory keeper today. I'm your host, Jennifer Wilson, owner of Simple Scrapper and author of The New Rules of Scrapbooking. This is episode 140. In this episode, I'm interviewing Melissa Vining for the My Way series. My Way is all about celebrating the unique ways memory keepers get things done. We're excited to have Melissa as the November featured artist at Simple Scrapper. Before we jump in, I have a super important reminder. The 2022 planning party starts next week on Monday, November 15th. It's free to participate, but you do need to register to get email updates, all the information, and be eligible for our prize drawing. So before you listen to this episode, press pause and head over to simplescrapper.com/plan to RSVP. All right, now my conversation with Melissa. Hey, Melissa, welcome to Scrapbook Your Way.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I am looking forward to getting to know you a little bit better, but can you kick things off by sharing, you know, a few of the basics about yourself?
Sure. So I'm from New Zealand. I was originally from the North Island of New Zealand, and when I was 17, I moved to the South Island to go to university, and I've never moved back to the North Island. I've just stayed here. I was living in Queenstown up until July, so a lot of my work has shown pictures of Queenstown, and then we just had a big change in our life, and we moved to a little town called Balclutha, which is in South Otago. So we've moved from the adventure capital of the world to a small town of about 4,000 people, and at the moment we're living in the country, so it's been a huge change. I'm married. We had our wedding anniversary this week. We were married for 18 years, so that's hard to believe.
Congrats.
Thank you. It's hard to believe. But we have four children. We have one boy, he's 14, and we have three girls, and they are 12, 7, and the four-year-old is going to be 5 in November. And so every day at the moment she wakes up and asks if it's her birthday.
I bet, yes.
We're in an interesting situation here in our country. We've Auckland is still in lockdown. We've just had a Delta variant come through. We were put in lockdown for 3 weeks, and even though we didn't have any COVID in our island, we still had to be in lockdown. So I, as of like last time we were locked down, I thought, oh, I'm going to get lots of scrapbooking done. But in reality, four children stuck at home, you don't. But I'd actually lost my scrappy mojo, and I did re-find it in lockdown because we have a group of us who get together. There's one in Australia, she used to live over here, and there's a group of us in the Lower South Island that get together once a month in person. But when there's any kind of lockdown, we get together online, so that certainly helped. But yeah, that's probably a bit about me. I've had a huge career change. I had my own business for 13 years. I was a town planning consultant. but we're Christians, and God called us over to Balclutha to pastor a church here. So that's a big change in my life. It's exciting, but we've basically moved to a town where we don't know many people, and had to meet new people, and the kids are in new schools, and after 5 weeks here we're put in this lockdown, so it's been challenging but good.
I'm curious if the life transition has sparked any, even if not so always creative interest, but even like memory keeping, journaling interest in you to try to get back into it.
Yeah. So, I have to be honest, this has been a huge change for us, and it's definitely affected my flow. I mean, I had to pack up my scrap room, and that was almost embarrassing, the amount of boxes of albums I had and the amount of stuff I had. But I mean, you know, we're all the same, aren't we? We love our suppliers and we love our products and our tools and things. But so I had to come over, and the house that we are renting has a second lounge, and my husband said that could be my scrap room, which is awesome. And then, of course, there's the process of unpacking, knowing that we're probably eventually going to buy a house, so I don't want to unpack everything, but then I want to have the things that I use available to me, which is a lot of things. So it took a bit of time to unpack and set it up. One thing I did do is I took photos of the entire process. We knew we were coming over in about probably April, so we knew, and so we'd come over to visit and see what it was like, and I purposefully took photos, and even of the moving process. People helped us move at the other end, and they helped us move in here, so I took photos, and I will definitely document them, whether I do a traveler's notebook, a mini album, maybe not 12 by 12 layouts, I'm not really sure, but it definitely has. I mean, my favourite thing to document is our family's everyday life, and so that's a huge part of everyday life is moving towns, so I've got it all ready to go.
Yes, you do. Well, I wish you, just so much love and grace for this transition and your family's, you know, new adventures.
Thank
in
you.
This smaller town.
Yeah, and one thing actually at church is there's I was so excited to see they have a hub called Let's Get Crafty. And it's a group of whoever wants to come along. And so the first time I took my scrapbooking along, and no one else does it. So I'm they're very interested in it. Some of them had seen my work on Instagram, but it was just really awesome to sit there with the other bunch of creative ladies and see what other people make.
Yes. So on that note, in terms of things that are interesting and exciting you to right now, what is one thing inside of our hobby that's really lighting you up? It could be really anything, a product, an app, a class, even a person or an idea.
Well, one thing, I guess, that does excite me, and I've only just started using this product, is Vicky Booten's Color Study. Now, I know that's not new to a lot of you, but because of shipping and COVID and things, it took about 4 months to get to me. I had to order it from 4 different places, and I just created my first layout with it. It's actually on my Instagram, it's my latest layout. I was the designer for the day, or one of the designers for a scrap timber with Laura Alberts, and the Scrappy Sisters, which is Jess and Katie, and it was combined with Christy's Beautiful Life. Christy is lovely, and she does 30 days of sketches, and so I used it. I was up for that day, and the theme was rainbow, and you had a sketch, so because it was scrap timber and the sketch combined. And I finally dug into that collection, and I'll be honest, I had it sitting there. I was almost intimidated to use it because I just love it so much, and I love colour. And I made that layout, and I just got so inspired by what an amazing collection it is. So I'm excited to make more with it.
Yeah, this is a beautiful page. I will include the link directly to
Thank
it
you.
In the show notes for this episode. So I love what you did
Thank
with the
you.
Rainbow background. It's lovely. What is one story that you really feel like you haven't told yet but feels important that you do?
Nearly 2 years ago, my brother-in-law passed away from terminal cancer, and he was diagnosed a year before that. And he had, it was terrible. Of course it's terrible, but he had no symptoms, and he basically got food poisoning and went to the hospital, didn't even take his wife with him, and they thought he had a blood clot that was travelling to his lungs, and they did an MRI, and they said to him, you've got secondary cancer. And so basically, then they had to do a full MRI. He was only 37 at diagnosis, and so he did this full MRI. His wife came in, and they said, you've got colon cancer. It spread to your liver. It was in, I think, 4 or 5 parts of his body, and there's nothing they could do except give him treatment to extend his life. So this was, you know, absolutely devastating for our family. We had imagined our family and his family with our kids growing up together, doing things together with him there. Mm-hmm. And he's an amazing person, because rather than just focus on himself and try and spend as much time as he had with his kids, he started petitioning the government. And with his wife, they put a petition to the New Zealand government to start a cancer care agency. And it got the most signatures of any cancer petition ever. And so he went from being unknown to this well-known person who was battling cancer. As well as that, he had a bucket list himself, and he had things on there that were for himself, but also for other people. And as part of that, like, he wanted to make the most of that last year of his life. And so there were things we went to, like, he was a rugby player, which is like our country's national sport. Mm-hmm. And he had this rugby game in his hometown, and 4,000 people went. And so I started documenting it, and we'd go to these dinners to raise money. He was raising money for the local high school for the young kids that was athletes there. But it just got so big, and it was incredible. And the media picked up on it, and rugby players from the All Blacks, which is New Zealand's national team, they came to things. And so basically he became a public figure, and with him and his wife, and she continues his work today. And so I knew I wanted to document these photos, but it was really hard, and losing him was really hard. He was like a brother to me. He's like the brother I never had. And so I have these photos. I think I've made about 3 pages, but I've bought a special album for it. And so a bucket list album, a bucket list item for me to document is definitely his journey, but through my eyes as his family. And the first layout I made, I think it was for Coco Vanilla Studio. I used Legendary, and I used a cut file by Paige Evans. And it was a photo of Blair with our youngest. So she was still a toddler then. And I just remember feeling very emotional as I made that page. And it was the first time I was able to document it. So I'm just going to work away at it when I feel like I can do it. But I pulled it out the other day because I was unpacking everything and putting things away here. And Ava came in and saw that page and said, I miss Uncle Blair. That's me as a baby with Uncle Blair. And I thought, yeah, that's why we do it. If I didn't document that, my kids probably wouldn't, well, the older ones would, but the younger two wouldn't remember that journey that we went on mm-hmm. with him. And although it was devastating, there were really special moments in there. And that's what I want to document.
Wow, what an important, significant story, not only for your family, but just because of the impact that he had as well. And for you to have that just sounds really special. So thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you. And I think I better look at, because there's a lot of media coverage of it too, and I'll probably put some of that or links to that in the album too, mm-hmm. just so that my children's children can look back on it too.
Yes, for sure. All right, so shifting gears more towards your own process today, we're going to start by going back a little bit. How did you get started scrapbooking?
So my sister-in-law, Blair's wife, her name is Melissa as well, so it gets a bit confusing in our family, but she had been to, I think it was a Creative Memories party, and she got really into it, and so did her mum. And she had her baby, Lily, who's just turned 15. So back when Lily was a baby, and she made this brag book, and she gave one to our mother-in-law, so my husband's mum. And my mother-in-law and I both really loved it. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And actually, I don't know why I just did this, but I'd taken a photo of Sam. So Sam is 6 months younger than Lily. And when he was born, I don't know why, but I just took a photo of him on the 29th of every month. So he was born on the 29th of March, and I just took a photo on the 29th of every month so that I could see him growing. So I had all these photos, and I was so inspired by her that I just went to our local, it's called The Warehouse. It's like a kind of like a department store. There's a craft section. And I bought this pack of baby scrapbooking products. And I didn't know about the online world of scrapbooking. I just bought it home and started making layouts. And I think I just called like 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Some I didn't even journal on. Like for me now, I'm such a journaler. The words behind the photo are almost more important than the photo. And I just did that and I made it. And I've kept it. And I think, looking back at it, no, it's not. Not, it's nothing like how I create now, but it's where I started. And to me, that's really important. I know that some people will re-scrap pages they don't like or that are not their style, but I definitely have it like it's a memorial stone to where I started with all of this. So that's where I started. And then when I was pregnant with my next child, Azaria, I was very sick and I couldn't scrapbook for the entire pregnancy, but I think I took a few photos throughout that and I knew that I'd just get back into it after that.
So I'm curious, I'm assuming that kind of the style, the look and feel of your pages and how you sit down to that blank canvas has changed since you began. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
So in the summer of 2012, I must have typed scrapbooking into Google and up came Two Peas in a Bucket, and that changed everything for me. I discovered who Shamel was, and I discovered that there was this online world of creative people just like me. So I've been like a lone ranger out there. I also, I think at that point I'd met a mutual friend had introduced me to someone who's now one of my closest friends. And as it happened, she lived like 1 minute away from where I lived, which was unbelievable. And she was really into scrapbooking. So hanging out with her and discovering Two Peas in a Bucket really influenced me, and I discovered all these amazing creative people that use different techniques, like mixed media and sewing on their pages. And so I think it's like all of us, we look at other people's work and we get inspired, but I think the more you do something, this is what I find, the more I want to do it, and I guess your style evolves just by doing it. And I definitely think like our online community on Instagram and YouTube definitely influences what we create. So we might see something that someone else does and not do a scrap lift of it, but maybe try a technique. So all those free classes on Two Peas in a Bucket, I just watched everything. It was my favorite part of my day because there'll be a new video up every day. Would be to go on there and learn a technique. And that's definitely changed the way that I created. And I loved that people like Shamel placed emphasis on the story. So I added the journaling in. And yeah, now I think I just create what I feel like now, whether it's influenced by something I see or an idea that I have.
Well, I think also the online community influenced the pace of change, obviously with new products, new trends. And, you know, I think we can see that through all parts of society that just, you know, styles evolve and things, what's popular evolves so much more quickly because of the very, very fast spread of information. And I think that's just, you know, allowed creativity to flourish as well as for us to experiment with new styles, new techniques. So how would you describe your style today? Like if someone has never seen your Instagram, they had to picture the type of pages that you make.
So I've always described it. Once I started getting on design teams, they always ask that question, how do you describe it? And I always said like fresh. I used to say clean, simple, with extra added interest, but I know it's evolved from that. So probably fresh with experimental aspect to it. It is hard to describe your own style, isn't it?
It is,
There are things that I love, like I love stitching, I love hand stitching, so both machine and hand stitching. I love splattering. I love cut files. but I wouldn't call myself, I mean, I play with mixed media, and I would not call myself an expert in that. There are definitely people that are absolutely amazing at it, but I try not to go overboard with it. Lately, I've been using Vicky Burton pre-made mixed media pages from her first collection, mm-hmm. Because I bought them and I'm wanting to use them, but they've been working. So, you know, the work's done for you, but you can add on top of it. So I'd say my style is evolving. It's definitely me. Like, it's, I don't think it's like anybody else. One thing I said to myself years ago with design teams, because it's, you know, you apply for these teams and hundreds of people apply, and the chance of getting on is, in my opinion, quite slim. But I always said to myself, I will never change my style. I will just be me. And if people want to have me on their team, that's because they like my style. And I've held to that. So, yeah, I think it's difficult to explain, but probably clean and fresh with extra added interest.
Yes, for sure. I would say a certain degree of colorful, layered.
Yeah.
But with still, like, you still have a lot of white space. It's very intentional as well. You're not filling up every single inch of the page. Go ahead.
I used to kind of find that, like, I'm not real clean and simple, because I do find it hard. Like, I used to joke with myself, I'm over embellishing again. Like, but I it's like intuitive. I just know for me when to stop adding things, when more becomes too much. For me, I've always let the photo shine. I think that's really important. I know for other people it's about adding more things. The photo must be the most important thing on the page to me, and everything else enhances that. So it's about, and to quote Paige Evans, it's about drawing the eye in. That's something I try to do. But I also want to have fun, because it's such a creative, fun process.
Yes. And so on that note, how do you stay motivated to keep creating? What makes it fun for you?
I know we often talk about wanting to catch up with our documenting, and I have four kids, and I am telling my own stories as well and a family stories. And I know that if I were to put that pressure on myself that I have to catch up and get each year done, I will never, ever catch up. And so I used to feel this pressure to catch up, and I don't scrap chronologically either. I just scrap what I'm motivated by. It could be the photo, it could be the product, it could be the assignment that I'm doing for a design team project. It could be a cup file that I want to use. So what motivates me is that this must be fun. If it's not fun, then I'm not really interested in doing it. Because before I was pastoring, and pastoring is a very full-on job, it never goes away really. You're always on call for your people. But I had a very full-on business, and so this became my creative outlet when I wasn't doing my work or spending time with my kids. And my husband was in a band, and he had a lot of gigs at night. So this was one hobby or interest that I could do in my own home. I didn't have to do it with anybody else. And so it has become my, creative escape, and I want to make sure I'm having fun. So I can't even remember what your question was.
How do you stay motivated and connected to it?
So by doing it all the time. I find if I take a big break, like I've just taken a week off, so I know I need to get back into it. So the more I create, the more I want to create. And, so I'll be working on one thing and I'll think, oh, I could use this product that's left here to do something else. So I think for me it's continually doing it. It's looking at Instagram and liking and commenting on the people I connect with on their projects, watching other people's videos and encouraging them and talking about it. I have been in a couple of chat groups where we talk about what we're creating. I just really think it's the only hobby, because I've always been creative, but it's the only hobby that has stayed with me for this amount of time, and I don't really ever intend on giving it up.
Yes, I think there's something that's really important about that, that the more we stay touching it in some way, the more we stay connected, there's that momentum feeds on itself. But then the more that we step away, sometimes it makes it even harder to get back into it.
Definitely. I just remember that one other thing that motivates me is my children pull their albums out and look at them. Or they'll say things like, the older ones will go, what was I like when I was Ava or Brielle's age? And I'll go, here, let me show you. And it's the words on the page as well. Like, a lot of their memories when they're little, of course they don't remember, but I've documented them. So that touches my heart when I see them look at their albums. Like, it's because, yes, I create for me, but I also create for them. But let's be honest, I'm creating for me. It's a creative outlet. It's me documenting their stories. But the fact that they love it means even more to me.
Yes. Yes, 100%. So kind of a slightly different topic here. Right now we're in our planning creative journey at Simple Scrapper. Do you keep track of the projects you're working on or the pages that you want to make?
I wish I had a system to do that because I was like, basically we moved here and I had this box, big box of layouts that I hadn't put away yet. And so I was trying to tidy up the space that I'm in and I thought, I'm going to put these layouts away. And so I pulled out all my albums and I was putting the layouts away, and because I don't scrap chronologically, I had to go through and I used D-ring albums for that reason so I could move things around. And as I was going through, I have to make decisions about when an album's done and when it's not. So I noticed that there are gaps, and I know from the photos I've taken over the years, the stories I haven't documented. So I do write down certain pages that I need to go back through the years of photos and make. But no, I wish I had a better system than that.
Totally fair, totally fair. So we touched a little bit on what's exciting you right now. You mentioned Vicky Booten color study. And I'm curious, what other things are you loving in scrapbooking right now? Maybe let's start with kind of formats and sizes. Do you create exclusively in 12x12 or do you dabble in any other sizes?
So 12x12 is like my absolute love. In 2019, I decided this is getting out of hand. I am documenting far too many 12x12s. I've got to do something about this. So I thought, right, for 2019, I'm going to make traveler's notebooks for each of my kids. And I made them myself, and I love making them myself rather than buying them. And I started doing that. I was trying to scrap like the stories that don't need a big 12x12 page. They're still important, but they're not. I'm not really an event scrapbooker. I'm everyday life scrapbooker, but ones that might just look better in a traveler's notebook. For me, is to try and cut down on the amount of albums I have. And to be honest, I haven't even finished those albums. I need to go back and finish them. I just kept making 12x12s. So. And then I made traveler's notebooks for Coco Vanilla. I made them for 2020 for the kids. And to be honest, I haven't even created in them at all. Still going back and making 12x12s. So this year I decided I need to do something about this because, I mean, I imagine myself in the future having grandkids and scrapbooking them as their grandma as well. Mm-hmm. More 12x12 albums. So I was on the HipKit design team and getting all of the kits, and I have a Project Life kit that has the most beautiful exclusive cards in it. So I decided, right, I'm going to do Project Life this year, and I'm doing it on a monthly basis, and I'm using those cards. And so I started, and I'm using a Close to My Heart album. It's 6x8, and what I'm doing in there is making like full page layouts as well as pocket pages, and I'm a bit behind at the moment. I'm in the process of filming April because I told my followers on YouTube that I would film all my spreads, and it is a bit different for me, but that's my process to try and branch away from just having to document everything in a full 12x12. I also make mini albums. I haven't for a while though. And I have done, we'd call it A4, I think you'd call it 11 and a half. Was it 11 and a half?
Yeah, I think the closest is letter size for us, so 8.5 by 11.
So I do make them as well, but I didn't realize that I love 12 by 12, and yeah.
That's totally, you are who you are, and I think when you can embrace that and recognize, okay, I did this little experiment, I keep going back to this other thing. This is really my sweet spot, and that's where you're going to find the most creative flow. You should celebrate that and just go with it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I did December Daily in a 4x4 last year, Close to My Heart album, and I absolutely loved it. So that was an example of me making a smaller album. I also, in our first lockdown, so last year, I was biking around this lake, a mountain bike, and I was biking around this lake that was close to our house called Lake Hayes. It's stunning. And I would take a photo every time I was biking, so I'm also making a 4x4 of those photos. And it was autumn, so I'm using lots of autumn products for that. But that's a project that's like an unfinished project that I really need to get on and finish. So I do enjoy a smaller format too.
Yeah. In terms of your process, when you're facing that blank canvas, it looks like you use a lot of white cardstock, as many of our guests do. When you're facing that blank page, how do you start? Are you usually starting with a photo? Is it a particular story, or is it a product that's inspiring you?
So if it's a design team project, sometimes you'll get given an assignment like, use this cut file with mixed media, or use these products. So that, if it's that, then that's the products that inspire me. So I kind of, sounds crazy, but the paper, I feel the paper talks to me. Like, the paper is my favorite product. It always has been, it always will be. So I might look at a piece of paper and think, I can fussy cut that, or this would look really good if I cut that paper down and used it in this way, or that would look really good if I stitched around those elements, hand-stitched. So definitely the product, but then I might have a photo, like I'm working on a beach album using Cocoa Vanilla Studio Sunkissed. We went on a beach holiday at the beginning of this year, and I decided I was going to just use that collection to document that holiday. And I'm going to share at the end of it, I'll share a walkthrough of the album. But in that instance, not all of the photos from the holiday are actually at the beach. So it's definitely a combination of the photo and the products. And that's a collection that's really bright, which is definitely my style. So I have a layout that's coming up. It's coming up tomorrow. Obviously, by the time this goes live, it'll already be up. But I, in that instance, wanted to scrapbook my son because I have three girls and I love girly things. And it kind of takes over as well.
I bet,
but,
yeah.
But in this one, I went for a cut file by Paige Evans that was quite generic. You could use it for boys or girls. And I think it was the cut file that inspired that layer, knowing that I had to use that product. So it's a bit of both, really.
That totally makes sense. You talked a little bit about some of the products that you love, but is there anything we haven't mentioned yet that you're really gravitating towards in terms of maybe like colors or patterns or other types of things?
It's not really a product, but I love working with kits, whether it be a curated kit or a kit that I put together myself. That's not really answering your question, though. I think
no, it totally does. I mean, I feel like you're thinking you're not answering the questions appropriately, but you totally are. So.
Yeah.
I love using kits too because I want somebody else to make the decisions for me or my past self having already made the decisions, you know?
Yeah. But one product I love that I know people struggle with, and I've been trying to encourage people in this product, is clear stickers. We've had them in a hip kit. That where they look like paint strokes, but they're slightly translucent. Other companies will put them out. They might be like a black outline of a flower, or they're translucent stickers. And a lot of people say, it's so hard to use these. How do you use them? So I like to use them, like if you don't want to do mixed media, you can use them to be your mixed media. You can add them under clusters, like you want to build on top of them. You can put them on white cardstock, cut them out and make them your own ephemera. So I get really excited when I see companies still making them. They're a little bit like rub-ons, I guess, except you don't have to worry about them. You know how rub-ons, when you keep them too long, they don't work anymore, but these keep. So that's definitely a product that I find inspiring, especially because I know that people struggle with using them. I will always love ephemera. ephemera, just there's so much you can do with it. You can feature it, you can layer it, you can have it sort of poking out from underneath something. Cut files is the other one, definitely.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Now, how do you stay organized? Do you consider yourself kind of a tidy, organized person or a not so much at all type of person?
So funny that, because years ago, I was like a chaotic, I'd make a layout from what's left on my desk from the previous one. It used to be like that. But I don't know if it's because I've got four kids now and have to be so organized. I actually can't handle that anymore. So I have a box of bags of kits or collections that I am inspired to work with at the moment or that I have to work with for design team projects. I have this chest. It belonged to my grandfather, so it's really old. And in there are more collections and kits and products that I'm not working with, but I might want to work with. And then I have almost like an archive, a box of past collections that I don't want to get rid of or give to my kids or de-stash. So I also have, like a lot of us do, I have a shelving unit that's in cubes, and I put items that I use a lot, but I don't have to have near me. And in there, some inks and stamps and stamping inks. Just having a look at it, actually. Paper, recent albums, manual dies, that kind of thing. And then, like most people have, it's not a Rascal card, it's the Spotlight equivalent. I have that. And that keeps, I've got a caddy with all my tools that I use all the time. My scissors, my stapler, my glue, double-sided tape. I have my paper trimmer, threads, and a box of photos that I have on the go all the time, my heat gun, my messy mat. So that's how I do it. I've got to have these things ready to go so that I have limited time, really, with four kids.
I bet, yeah.
I could stay up really late creating, but that's not good. It's good at the time, but it's not good for me the next morning. So
As we get older, I can identify with that as well.
I know. that's how I do it. Yeah.
What about your photos? Do you keep them organized on your computer, or are you just finding a photo in the moment and printing it out to put on your page?
So I wish I had a system for this. And I use my iPhone, and I love that. You know, you can just, with a tap of a finger, you can see your years, your months, your days. Mm-hmm. I will decide, right, what am I going to create today? I'm going to work on that beach album that I talked about. So I'll just go into the appropriate month, which was January of this year, and I might just make them favorites, the ones I want to work on. I have to admit, though, I probably need a better system, because sometimes I'm like, right, have I scrapped that photo before? And I have to go look on my Instagram, which is basically my gallery, and see if I have or haven't, or I'll pull the album out. So I'm terrible. I've got probably, if I have a look at this, far too many photos. I did see someone had said they had 10,000 photos on their phone. Yeah, I've got 10,000 photos on my phone. Not good.
Oh, I've heard much more than that, so you're not alone, yeah. For sure.
But they're not just on my phone. They do get put on my computer as well.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, like, stepping back here from your experience in this hobby from the very beginning to where you are now, what do you think is your biggest lesson learned?
Do you mean creatively or for documenting memories?
Oh, I mean, if you have two different answers, share those, yeah.
For documenting memories, I am so grateful for this hobby. Like, it's not till you lose somebody like we have. Because my son said to me, I was really upset about losing Uncle Blair and how much he loves him. And I pulled his scrapbook out and I said, look, this is when you were two. Uncle Blair took you for a ride on the tractor on the farm. And I don't even think it was me that documented. I think my sister-in-law took those photos and sent them to me. Mm-hmm. And it's so precious to have that and look back.
Yes.
And so I'm just so grateful that I started. I'm so grateful that I've continued. I'm so grateful that I still have a passion and a desire to do it. Yeah, definitely. In terms of creatively, what was the question again? Sorry.
Oh, just like what is your lesson learned? I mean, so
lesson learned.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, so, okay. Over the years, and I've done this too. I've heard people say, "Oh, my layouts, my projects are all looking the same. I just it's all boring. It's all the same." Well, I used to feel like that. And then one day I went, no, you know what? This is who I am as a creator. This is my style. I'm embracing that because that is me. And I'm not going to be try and be someone I'm not. I'm not going to go and copy someone like Missy Whitten, who is incredible and such a lovely person. Like, I'm not going to copy and be her because there's already her.
Yes.
I'm never, unless I spend hours and hours and hours and hours, going to be able to create mixed media like her. Someone else that is incredible is my friend Sophie, who's so scrappy. She has this beautiful style. Now, I can learn from her. Like, I've learned how to do limited mixed media from her, but I'm not going to be her. So I think comparison is like the biggest, like, you know, the quote, comparison is the killer of joy, because it is. Comparison either inflates you and makes you think you're better than everybody else, which is bad, or it deflates you and makes you think you're useless. And so I've had people say to me, there's one person, in particular, I'm not going to say who they are, and that it's no one that anybody knows in this industry, but it's someone that's part of my family. They almost don't want a scrapbook because they look at me and they think, oh, I just can't do it like you. And they say that to me, I can't do it like you. And I say, but you're not meant to do it like you. You're meant to do it like you. And yes. The way you create is lovely and it's beautiful and it's your family's memories. And so I think creatively, the biggest lesson is not to compare to other people. It's to be who you are. And like I said before, like, you, creating should make you happy. You should get joy from it. And if it doesn't, then you need to really look at why you're creating and almost look back at your albums and remind yourself the joy you got creating. So I know that this industry is very competitive. People can feel discouraged, and I think that all comes from comparing to other people. But really, we've all been given a gift in doing it. There's no right or wrong. One thing I love about Instagram is that everyone is supportive and everyone has different styles, and we all love on each other's work, particularly the group of women that I'm close to. And I've never met these women. I've become friends with them through whether it be just following their work and commenting. That's the way to make friends on Instagram, comment on their work. And sometimes, often, it's not the same as my style. It's different. But I appreciate all the work and effort. And I just love the hobby so much, and I love the community. And I just, you know, we can all be each other's cheerleader when it comes to our own work and each other's work.
Yes, 100%. So thank you for these amazing words and amazing thoughts. What a wonderful way to end the episode. Melissa, can you share where we can find you online? Anything new or fun you'll have coming up?
So you can find me on YouTube. I think it's just Melissa Vining. And on Instagram, it's Melissa_Vining_creates. I keep saying on my YouTube that I'm going to come back and make more videos, and then I don't. And it's just that I'm going through a season of change at the moment, and I'm just trying to find routine with moving, mm-hmm. new job, new schools for kids and everything, and finding time. So I will definitely get more content up on my YouTube, but my Instagram is really the place if you want to see everything I create. It's there. Because often I can only create in, say, 15-minute increments at a time, or work on something in a small space of time. So I don't want to record that because then I'm, you know, recording, stopping all the time. Those are the two main places. I did have a blog, but I just feel that my Instagram has become my blog as well. So that's the main place you can find me.
I would think many people would agree with that as well, that Instagram has very much replaced that function of blogs and being able to share even often multiple images and longer explanations.
Definitely.
So we'll include all your links in the show notes for this episode. Melissa, this has been so fun. You are our featured artist, and we are so grateful to have you. A selection of your pages have inspired new sketches and templates for our members, and we're excited to have you hanging around for this
month. Thank you so much. That is so exciting. I can't wait to see what they create. And thank you, Jennifer. Thank you so much. It's so awesome to talk to someone that gets it, because I find that in my life, my normal life, people don't understand scrapbooking, and I could talk about it forever. Like, it's a huge part of my life.
Me too. I always say that, like, I can't make small talk about the weather or the price of gas, but I can talk about scrapbooking until the cows come home. Well, this has been so delightful. Thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, please remember that you have permission to scrapbook your way.
Absolutely.